I tell you, what would we do without our wives, Dory? And I'm walking up here, and I was sitting there thinking, you know, turn my mic on, Randall. And so as I'm walking, I hear the voice, turn your mic on. All right. I had it this morning. Yeah, whatever, right? Great to be here, isn't it? It is. Folks, it's good to be here. I appreciate the things that I've already heard here this morning. I heard it in the announcements and what we're talking about. I heard it in the songs. I heard it, Manny, in your devotional, your Lord's Supper devotional. Heard it also in the prayer. I wasn't here. Check my time, 10:50. I wasn't here 4 minutes. And I won't mention any names, but someone came up to me and said, you know, Paul, man, I don't know. You know, I know we're supposed to trust God, and it's just really tough right now, and it's these are difficult times, and I thought to myself, keep talking, brother, could you preach in my sermon? And that's exactly what I have learned one thing through this virus, and that is life is not predictable at all. It is not predictable. You know, there's so many ups and downs along the way, and we want to trust God, don't we? We really want to trust God, and when times are good, it seems easy, doesn't it? Seems easy to trust God when times are good and everything's going along fine, but then when times are difficult, it's difficult. And then it's even more important to put our trust in God, because I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's one who can really give us a firm foundation when things are shaky, when things are not certain, when things are unsteady, and that's God. And that's God. I'm not asking you to trust in me. I'm not putting... So smoothly. For a while, your job is satisfying. You know what I'm talking about? Your job is satisfying. Your friends and family are enjoyable. Your goals, your finances, your health, your future, your outlook, it's all so bright. And then, all of a sudden, life throws you a curveball, doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about. And someone you know gets sick. Maybe it's the virus. Maybe it's something else. You lose your job. A friend. Or don't really understand what's happening. How do you put your trust in God when you just cannot see a resolution? They're valid questions. And it's what we're going to talk about for a few more minutes this morning. What does it even mean to trust God? Heard that all. Bible tells us, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it's not on our outline, but the Bible tells us that it is impossible for God to lie, right? And I open up his word. And so I'm gonna believe this stuff. I know that God always keeps his promises. I know that he loves me. I know that he loves you. I know that's what I believe it means to trust in God. Someone says, yeah, preacher, but you know, the way I hope I can explain that to you. Trusting God is more than a feeling, brethren. It's a choice to have faith in everything he says. Even when your feelings or your circumstances would have you believe something different. Isn't it interesting, folks, how circumstances can change that quick? Isn't that interesting? Isn't it interesting, brethren, how not just circumstances, but our in just an instant. And that's why I say to you, put your trust in God. You know why? Somebody tell me why. Because God never changes. That's exactly right. God never, ever changes, brethren. He's always the same. Same yesterday, same today. He'll be the same tomorrow. He'll be the same forever. And I just want to encourage you today to put your trust in him. Couple of other things before we actually get into talking about how we're going to trust God. A couple of other things. Trusting God wearing this mask or not. Trusting God. Trusting God. You listening? Trusting God is not pretending everything is good when it's not. Trusting God is living a life of belief in him. Whether I'm wearing the mask or whether I'm not. Let's go to that next slide. So let's talk about how to trust God. You know, I saw something in the... Gina showed me the bulletin a while ago, Paul, and I appreciate that, man. 4 ways to trust in God. Did you put that in there? Nikki put that in there. Awesome, Nikki. So if you're not here, and if you're live streaming, Nikki, if you're checking out, appreciate that. That's so awesome. 4 ways to trust in God. And there's a scripture there that she used that I'm going to touch on. I'm going to touch on here in just a few minutes. How to really trust God. How do you feel towards someone that you trust? Look around. right quick. Just look around. Some of you are not looking around. Look around. Y'all see? Well, I'm thinking of some folks right now that I really trust. Some aren't here. Some are live streaming. Let's just pretend for a second. Although I really do trust Paul Fletcher. Okay, I always pick on Paul a little bit, but this is not meant to be a picking on him. I'm just saying I trust him. But what does that mean? I feel comfortable. I really do. I believe I can share anything with him in complete trust. I would feel comfortable talking to him. But understand something. No matter how much you trust another person, your most trustworthy friend is not as trustworthy or reliable as God Almighty. And I want you to put your trust in God. I love to. He doesn't ask us to do that. In fact, what he asked us to do in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 is to cast all your anxiety on him. All your cares, all your troubles, all I really love, and we don't talk about this very much, is Psalm chapter 56 and verse 8. And I'm going to paraphrase it. Basically, it says, you keep track of all my sorrows. Remember this passage? And I'm thinking to myself, does God really care? I mean, can I really put my trust in him and he really cares? You keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. Y'all believe that? You've recorded each one of my tears in your book. And I read something like that, and I think to myself, God really does care. God really does care, man. He really loves me. Doesn't matter what I'm going through. If it's good, if it's bad, God loves me. He helps me. I can go to him and I can talk to him about circumstances in my life. Whether they're good or whether they're bad. I can go to God, brethren, because I know he truly cares for me. You believe that? I can trust God with anything in my life. And so I want to encourage you to go to God. And I want to encourage you to go to his word when life is hard. And we're living right now, and have been since about the middle of March, we're living in some weird, strange, hard times. And I want you to put your trust in God. Because God is the one who will hold you securely in difficult circumstances. Mark chapter 14. What a great passage this one is. Mark chapter 14, verses 34 through 36, we're seeing Jesus Christ at a time in his life when he was so, so very concerned. It says Mark 13. Maybe I have that wrong in my notes. I have Mark 14, 34, 36. No big deal. No big deal. Listen to this. Jesus, and this is before his crucifixion, he says, my soul, I don't know if we can understand this, my soul is overwhelmed, Jesus says, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to his followers. He said, just stay here and watch. And then the Bible says, going a little further, he fell to the ground and he prayed that if possible, this hour might pass from him. Oh my goodness, can you imagine being just a short period of time away from one of the most horrible forms of persecution ever, to hang on a cross? Can you imagine that? How he must have felt so overwhelmed. And so he falls to the ground and he prays that if possible the hour might pass from him. And he says, Abba, Father, if it be possible. And everything is possible for you. Everything is possible, Father. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. Not my will, but thine be done. So overwhelmed by what was before him. And you know who he went to? He didn't go to his mama. I've gone to my mama. I've gone to my mama. Wish you could have known her. And I could talk to my mama when things were bad. And she always seemed to understand. She was so sweet. He didn't go to his mama. And on this occasion, he doesn't even really go to his followers, to his brethren. He goes to God, the Father, because his Father cared. And truly, or for his hurts, his Father truly cared. His Father truly paid attention. How comforting to know that the God of this universe paying attention to you. Can you believe that? Can you people believe that God loves you so much that no matter what you're going through, you can go to God? That's amazing to me. That the God of this universe pays attention to you, Charlie. That the God of this universe pays attention to me. That's overwhelming in and of itself. God is for you. And so quickly, six practical ways, and I believe this is the next slide. Six practical ways to know how to trust God in difficult times. Read the bulletin if you haven't read it, because there's four things in there that are excellent. I'm going to touch on one of those in my list here. Number one, and these are just so very simple. Seek the truth in Scripture. God knows when you're having a difficult time. God knows that during these difficult times that we need somewhere to go. And what better place than to His Word? What better way than to seek truth in Scripture? It's His Word. It's His holy book. It's unchangeable. It's completely trustworthy. We could talk. There's so many scriptures we could talk about. I didn't even give them to the guys back there in the room. John 17:17. You can help me with this. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. Go to the Word to know how to trust God. Go to the Word. John 8 and verse 32. Finish it for me. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You're having a difficult time? Any of you people out here today having a difficult time? yeah. Serious. Go to God. Go to His Word. Go to His truth. The promise is made, you shall know the truth. And the truth's going to set you free. That's how to trust God. You need a strong foundation of Scripture, brethren, to stand on, especially when you feel uncertain. How many of you believe, show me with a show of hands, that the Bible is never failing? There we go. The Bible is unfailing, isn't it? You can cling to its truth when life throws you a curveball. Everything you need, brethren, is right here. Right? Can you help me with 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17? All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, yeah, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete, thoroughly, completely furnished unto every good work. Y'all believe that? What else do I need besides His Word? Someone saying, I'm having a hard time knowing, just really, you know, just trusting God. Okay, I hear that. Listen, man, I hear that. And I relate to that. I just want to encourage you to really know how to trust God and seek the truth in Scripture. Second point, quickly, I'm going to tell you something now that's going to sound very strange to you. Because normally, preachers are up here and they're telling you to confess belief in God. Right? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We ask folks to make that confession before we bury them in baptism, to have their sins washed away, right? But now I'm going to ask you to confess unbelief. And what I mean by that is, we need to be honest with God. Have none of you ever felt doubtful? Have none of you ever felt skeptical? Have none of you ever read something and thought, wow, man, I'm having a hard time believing that? Go to God and confess your unbelief. And God will help you address the problem. And He will help you to overcome that. This is as biblical as anything we're talking about this morning. Let's turn, well, I believe it's probably on the screen, Mark chapter 9. There it is. Mark chapter 9, verses 14 through 29 is the whole context. It's just an amazing, I'm going to bring it up here on my phone because I want to read you something. And it's in the bulletin too, on the four ways to trust in God. It's so neat. Nikki, appreciate that again. According to Mark chapter 9, a man brings his son to Jesus for healing, because he is being persecuted and he is being tormented from this awful possession. This is an unbelievable account. Being horribly persecuted because he's possessed by a demon. Let me just read it to you. Just a few verses. I can't read the whole account. Wish I could. I'm going to start in verse 17. I want to show you what this demon does to this young man. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son. He has a mute spirit." I'm reading from the NKJV. "I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him, it throws him down." This is real stuff, y'all. It throws him down. And he foams at the mouth. And he gnashes his teeth. And he becomes rigid. "So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they couldn't." Verse 20. "Then they brought him to him," Jesus Christ. "And when he saw him, immediately the spirit," when he saw Jesus Christ, "immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground. And he wallowed, still foaming at the mouth." Verse 22, "And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water. try to destroy him. Y'all listening? Often he's thrown him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. Now check this out. And I relate to this so much. But if you can, y'all see that up there? But if you can, and I'm thinking to myself, do what? You're talking Jesus there, partner. What do you mean, if you can? But if you can do anything, please have compassion on us and help us. Unbelievable. And we can sit here in our little pews and then we act like we got it all together, like we never doubt. Like we don't have to go to God and say, God, please help me with my unbelief because I'm having a hard time here. And he'll do it. He'll do it. He believed. But it was a difficult thing, wasn't it? It was a difficult thing for him to believe so. He asked for help. And in effect, Jesus says to him, you know, I'm the Son of God. Do you think that I can't heal your son? Do you? And the Bible says, I believe it's in verse 24, immediately the boy's father cried out and exclaimed with tears and said, I do believe. But please help me overcome my unbelief. Sometimes I have to pray to God and ask him to help me. You want to know how to trust God? Be honest enough with God to confess your unbelief. It's one thing to know the truth. I look out here and I see a bunch of people who know the truth. I do. I see people who know the truth, who know it well. But it's still sometimes hard to believe when life takes all these crazy turns. You know? All these unexpected turns. Because we're just so human, right? I'm just asking you to confess to God when your feelings and beliefs are not lining up with his truth. Happens to me all the time. Doesn't happen to y'all. Don't tell me no because I'm not going to believe you. I'm not going to believe you if you tell me no. It happens all the time. You can go to God in prayer and he will hear your request. He will answer those prayers. All right? So, confess unbelief. Next, quickly, share your concerns with fellow believers. Look around you. All right? Any of you going through a hard time? I was listening to Manny's speech during the Lord's Supper. I liked it, Mr. Rivera. And I heard you say, I tell my wife I love her and I tell my wife that, but she never responds. What does that mean exactly, Dory? I think, Mama, I love you. I love you. I'm joking. Yeah, I hear that, Bob. I hear that, man. I'm just playing. Look around you. You see some other Christians that you can share your concerns with? Is that a biblical idea? You bet it is. You're not facing these days alone. Yeah, we got God. But isn't it awesome to know that he also gives us other believers to walk with? Wow. I love the book of Philemon. And I can see, Paul, you touched on it, man, in your Wednesday night stuff. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, which was excellent. And you touched on this, I believe. Maybe I just dreamt this. Maybe you didn't touch it, but I think you did. And I can just see this stuff kind of unraveling between Paul and Philemon and Onesimus. And this idea of having fellow believers to share with and to trust. And in Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6, we find these words. Listen to this. I pray that your partnership... I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Isn't it awesome? Look around in here, y'all. Isn't it awesome to look around and see some fellow believers that we can share with? Even during these difficult times? So Paul reminds his friends that this partnership is so important. It helps us to have a greater understanding of God and his plans. When you're struggling, share your concerns with someone whom you trust in the church. I'm not saying share your struggles with everybody. I'm saying pick out somebody that you love and that you truly trust and share with them your struggles. Find those people who love the truth. Find those people who will encourage you and share the truth with you. Not just tell you what you want to hear, but people who love you enough to tell you the truth. Look around and find you someone like that in the church. Next slide, point number 4. We're just talking about how to trust God. Remember God and spend time with Him, okay? God is bigger than your circumstances. I don't care what you're going through. Maybe it's trouble with a wife. Maybe it's trouble with a husband. Maybe it's trouble with the kids. But Randall, did you ever have any trouble with Bud? maybe it's trouble with the kids. Maybe having some trouble in your marriage. You're going through your circumstances are just horrible. I want to tell you something. God's bigger than your circumstances. And we just got to learn to trust Him in difficult times. And even though they may feel like they're going to last forever, they're just temporary. God wants you to come to Him with your troubles and with your circumstances. Spend regular time with God. Set aside a time every day that you can have consistent time with God. Every day. Go to Him when you're feeling rough. Someone says, well, I've never really had that kind of relationship with God. Well, let me tell you this, it's not too late to start it. It's never, ever too late to establish that kind of relationship with Him. Read His Word. Spend time in prayer. Another passage that I want to share with you, and not to reiterate what Paul Fletcher said, but I'm sort of doing that anyway. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, Paul. I remember sitting in your classes, if I wasn't here, I was live streaming. And I remember thinking, ooh, he's almost to 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. He's almost there. And so we come on Wednesday night. And I'm thinking, can't wait to hear what Paul says about this. And you didn't get there. You got to verses 12 and 13 that night. I remember that. And I thought, I was really looking forward to that. And so I thought, okay, next week he's going to hit it. And I believe that he did. And when he read it, it made me ashamed. I got to tell you, brother, you made me ashamed. When I heard those words, rejoice always and pray continually and give thanks in all circumstances, it made me ashamed. And I'll tell you exactly why it made me ashamed. Maybe we should all be ashamed. How we've moaned and how we've complained over the last 9 months about this virus. I'm not trying to be ugly and make you mad. That's the last thing I want to do. And look, y'all, I was praying, man. I kept praying. I never stopped praying, but I wasn't always rejoicing. I wasn't doing it, y'all. I wasn't thanking God for all the circumstances I found myself in. And you got to it, Paul, when you got to it, dude, man, it hit me so hard. And I love what you said. I tell you something, brethren, knowing and learning how to give thanks to God fights the lie that everything's bad. I appreciate that point in your Lord's Supper devotional. Thanking God fights the lie that everything in life is horrible. Even in tragic circumstances, folks, there's light. Y'all know that? Even in tragic circumstances, there's God's grace. And I thank Him for that. God's present. He's always present. You only have to look. Just look. Quickly, number five, walk in spirit. We need to spend more time talking about the spirit. I'm talking about ways to know how to trust God. Walk in spirit. Good night. This is so important. He's your constant helper. He'll point you to Jesus. John 14, verse 26 says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've ever said to you." Do y'all rely on the Spirit? Do you? One of these days I'll have another chance to preach, and we may just talk about what you really believe the Spirit is. You think it's just like this little Holy Spirit man sitting on your shoulder over here? One side's the Holy Spirit, and over here's the devil. And what do you think about the Holy Spirit? I'll tell you this, the Bible says the Spirit will comfort and lead you to the truth. The Spirit will bring direction to you. The Spirit will bring direction to your life. Any of you ever felt helpless? Honestly, I want to see some hands. If anybody in here has ever felt helpless or hopeless, I want to see some hands. Because I have. Thank you. I know you have too. I know you have too. The Spirit can ease those struggles. You know that? He can ease those circumstances. He may not always give you the big picture, but I promise you, He's going to show you the next step. Walking closely with the Spirit reminds you that you're not alone. Last point, quickly, number six. I mentioned this in another sermon back a month or so back, and that is waiting on the Lord. Right? Waiting on the Lord. Sometimes what you need to do, brethren, is just wait. And that's hard to do. That's not ingrained in us to want to wait, is it? Waiting on Him to act on your behalf. Waiting on Him to do what you cannot do yourself. I love Isaiah 40:31. Y'all know the one I'm talking about. Isn't it awesome? "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles." That makes me feel good, y'all. Huh? "Those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength, and they'll mount up with wings like eagles. They're going to run, and they're not going to be weary. But that promise is for those who wait for the Lord. Waiting on the Lord, you know what that tells me? Waiting on the Lord tells me that I'm not in control. Y'all not in control. Just so you know. These elders aren't in control, just so you know. We're not in control, we just think we are. We just think we are. goodness, we're not in control. And I'll close with this, Psalm 34, verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, and we have been crying for help, haven't we? When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. I didn't write it, but I'm just telling you what it says. God is trustworthy, brethren, even when you don't see your prayers being answered or your problems being solved right away. He's there for you. When something happens and a difficulty may, in fact, persist for longer than you had hoped, he's there. I remember all this stuff started back in March. That's a COVID cough, I'm afraid. Choking. Choking. That was a joke in poor taste, wasn't it? Yeah. I really believed that when all this stuff started with COVID, and I said to Gene, this stuff's not going to last long. This stuff's not going to last long. It's not just going to keep persisting. And everything's going to be back to normal real soon. And guess what? I was wrong again. I was wrong again. And it's still persisting. So what do you do then? Just wait and trust. And remember that God loves you. And remember that God's going to sustain you in any circumstance. He's going to provide for you, even in the midst of hardship. John 16:33, I kick myself sometimes because I read all this stuff and then I forget it, Randall. I read it and forget it. It's kind of weird. In John 16:33, Jesus promises that in this world we're going to face difficult times. He says, I came to bring peace. But he says, in this world you will have tribulation, you will have sorrow. But there's one more promise. Can I give you one more scripture? Probably not even on the list. Can I give you one more? Thank you. God said there's going to be a lot of trouble in this world. It's wicked. It's evil. But then we turn back to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, and we find Jesus making a promise. Remember what he said there? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach. By the way, I really appreciated what that dude last week, what was his name, said about the, our man goes, talked about the souls. What was his name? Babbitt? Yeah. Did he call you cornbread or something weird like that? Mom, you called him cornbread. I just wonder what was up with that when I heard that. I really appreciated what he had to say. And I thought as he was speaking, I thought, there's our direction right there. That's what's indeed most important. Anyway, Jesus says you're going to have a hard time in this world. A lot of tribulations, a lot of troubles, a lot of sorrow. And then Jesus comes along and he says, all authority has been given in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach. That's what Babbitt was talking about. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And here it is. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Y'all believe that? You believe God's with you right now? You believe God's going to be with you tomorrow? Next week? Next month? Next year? I'm telling you, he's completely trustworthy. Let's learn to trust him. Romans 8 and verse 28. Paul was writing to believers about the present life. He reminds them that this life is going to be filled with hardship, that our bodies eventually are going to fail. But he said, God's working for our good. And in verse 28, recorded for us in Romans chapter 8, Paul says, and we know, can you finish it? That all things work together for good to... to those that love the Lord. You trust in God? How many of you trust in God today with your soul? I know a lot of you have given your life to Jesus. And that's awesome. But have you failed to really put your trust in God? You having some hard times right now? You need some help with them? Won't you come to God? I can't help you a whole lot. But God can. Won't you do that today? I'm talking to Christian people. And as may always be the case, there may be some here who have not entrusted their lives to God, have not entrusted their souls to God through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you think about doing that today? Give your life to God, man. Jesus says you got to believe. John 8, verse 24. He says, except you believe that I am He, you're going to die in your sins. You got to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Got to be willing to, we've all had to turn our lives around in certain ways, haven't we? We've all had to make changes. That's what repentance is really all about. Oh, I tell you, nay. King James, I'm sorry, that's what I grew up with quoting. Luke 13:3, tell you nay. Unless you repent and make those changes, you're going to perish. You're going to perish. I'm going to perish if I don't repent. Good night. We could talk about so many scriptures. Come to confession. And here's what we're going to say now. Confess belief in God. Romans 10:9-10, with a heart, man believes into righteousness, but with a mouth, confession's made to salvation. Is that your need today? Maybe you've never done that. We're going to sing an invitation song. Then, of course, to be buried with Christ. I heard you quote a scripture the other day. I think you did it on a Wednesday night when you were offering the invitation. I appreciated it so much. Romans 6:3-5. Or I think, and I'm not sure what translation you're reading at, but you said, or do you not know that all who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried with Him through baptism into death, that like His cross was raised from the dead to the glory of the Father, we also might rise and walk in new life. Yeah. That's what it's all about. And if you haven't done that, just want to encourage you to do that. I need to be quiet. Let's Paul, come on up, man, and let's stand. And let's sing a song.